स्मरण कहा जाता है, सदा भूल जाएंगे। अब जैसे सपना में हम
वी विल फॉरगेट इट फॉर एवर,
कहीं दूसरे देह में हम अहम बुद्धि कर लेते हैं,
जस्ट लाइक इन द ड्रीम वी वर थिंकिंग, जस्ट लाइक इन द ड्रीम वी वर अवेक इन द इन आर अदर बॉडी इन द ड्रीम and we were thinking it is me. In the same way, in our new body after our die, after we die, we think this is me, just like in the dream. We put our aham buddhi in our new body, and then in that new body we awake, we sleep, we eat and sleep and do things. So this birth and death example everyone sees every day in their life. To forget the body is death, and to see and be awake in the dream, that is birth, that is new life. We forget this body and we are awake in the new body. And the new body we experience happiness and distress. In our village, a little away from our village, we went to a man's house to do a preaching program, and he was sleeping, and one devotee in the morning, he rang the bell to wake up everybody for Mangal Aarti. He was awakened from his dream and he said, "Oh, why did you wake me up? I was having such a nice dream, I was just about to get married. And you woke me up, what a wrong thing you did." He was thinking maybe if he could have seen that dream 1 or 2 hours more. Now you just see, for the false life we have so much attachment. The reality, the real life, the real body, we actually forget. Situation is with our this present life, our present body. Our real life is with Krishna in our spiritual body. But we accept this body as a dream. This is mine, I'm doing this. And this dream will break. And the body will be gone. And we will not even remember this body, whether it's being put in the ground or being burned. We will never remember this body, because we will have our mati, our mind, in our new body. We will consider that body, the new body, to be me. It's a little bit different than the dream, but the example of the dream can be given to understand this. This present body is gone, it's not going to get up again. Doesn't matter how much, what kind of box you make, made of beautiful marble and stone, but this body is not going to get up and start walking again. It's not that the day will come that the body will rise and come to life again. If you open this coffin later on, you will not be able to recognize what it is. It will just become dust. In Gita, God is speaking. This is a science. Saying, Jatasya hi dhruva mrityu. Dhruvam janma mritya sacha. This is Krishna speaking. Shri Bhagavan Uvaja. This is not the words of an ordinary person that you can compromise. When there is death, birth is certain. Agree or not agree. The Supreme Lord is speaking. Don't compromise and say, "Oh, a little bit we'll take from here, a little bit from there. This is not a matter of speculation. This is Siddhanta. What you think is rubbish, it's trash. This is the truth. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. The material body and the soul leave this body and goes to another body. It is just a lump of matter. A dead lump of matter. It can become anything. Dust or the worms will eat or whatever. This is the situation. This will be our situation also. And this is why all this is given in the Bhagavatam. This is the truth with us also. The Bhagavatam means to hear all this, the philosophy. Just by hearing all the stories, you're not going to get anywhere. There was a king, there was a queen, and this and that and this. I was just remembering one Bhagavad Katha. Katha is very nice. The listeners in general, in our villages we've seen what kind, who they are. Our old mothers, they all sit and listen. And Panditji, the Pandit who's speaking, same one Pandit has to speak this Katha in 8 to 10 places in one day. So very quickly, he just runs through the whole Bhagavatam. And he has to finish all the cantos in Sanskrit. So these old ladies, they don't understand what he's saying. They just keep hearing chapter 1, canto 1, canto 2, canto 3 like this. They keep hearing, they're sitting on the ground and they draw lines. When every time he says one canto is finished, he says, Bake Bihari Lal Ki Jai. And they draw one line and they kind of wake up. And then they blow the conch after each chapter. Then they know one chapter or so much is finished. And then they fall asleep. And each time they blow a conch and he says, Bake Bihari Lal Ki Jai, and they say Jai. And then again they go back to sleep. And at the end, they're totally awake. After that, prasadam is distributed. And then the Panditji goes to another place for saying the katha somewhere else. What will you get with this kind of katha? What will you get with this kind of hearing? Telling katha in story forms, like telling stories. Sometimes in our villages, when there is no electricity, in our villages somebody will say some katha, tell us some story. And then somebody will speak, there was a king, there was a queen, and then the other person will start to fall asleep. And this person who's speaking, he'll say, don't fall asleep, at least say hum when you hear. Are you sleeping? And the person who's falling asleep, no, I'm not sleeping, keep talking. At the end, this person who's telling story, he said, story went to the forest, thought of it in my mind. Person who is speaking is false and person who is hearing is true. Means the person who is speaking, he's just speaking any story, and the person who is hearing, he's thinking that's true story. The speaker is actually making up the story, but the person who is hearing, he's thinking he's telling the true story. These days when they write these fiction novels, it's all fiction. It's all false. Shooting of the film is also fake. It is not actually happening there. Today I was watching this Mahabharat Katha, the television serial with Yogi Ji, and I told him even today the technology is not so far ahead, because they're not able to show somebody's head actually cut off and somebody's arm actually cut off. Battlefield, so many people must have lost their heads and arms, and because in the film there's not really a real battle, and even in the wedding scenes, then it's not a real wedding. at least that is based on a true katha, true story. Shooting may be false, but at least the film is based on a true story. Those that write novels, it is complete imagination of the writer. The person who has written, he's written a false story, but the person who's reading, he's reading and either enjoying or he's crying while he's reading. He's reading a false love story, but he is sobbing and wiping his eyes and blowing his nose. It is a false story. There's so many fiction is being written, so many fiction stories are being written, that people see Gita, Ramayana, Mahabharata, Bhagavatam, etc. also with the same point of view. They think that is also fiction. It must be also somebody's imagination. Just like sometimes when the children, they go around and they stand and they whirl around and around and around and around, then they're in front of their eyes, everything seems to be turning. Whatever they see, it seems it's turning around. Whatever they see the sky turning around, the world turning around. Actually, nothing is moving, only your eyes are moving. Reading so many false stories, their mind has become false. And that's why they cannot put their faith in Ramayana and Bhagavatam. Have faith in Lord Sri Ram, Lord Vishnu. This is the reason. All these fiction stories have covered their mind. All these fiction stories are making their eyes go around and their minds go around. They think the Shastra is also fiction. But we have to hear this philosophy. This is the truth. And every day we're leaving our body. We go to sleep, whether we dream or not dream, we do leave our body. Bhagavatam, it says, the 11th canto,
जंतुर वह कष्टशील है तो मृत्यु अत्यंत विस्मृति जब जीव किसी कारण से शरीर को पूरा भूल जाता है तो उसकी मृत्यु कहते हैं
When the living entity for any reason forgets his body, that is called death. When he completely for some reason forgets his body, that is death. When a person is deeply in thought of deeply in thought of meditating on his desires, he also forgets his body. When he thinks he has to do this and I have to get this and that, so there's two ways he forgets his body. By deep meditation of his desires and in his dreams, in his sleep. In dreams, he actually takes another birth. So Vasudev is trying to explain this. Text 41.
स्वप्ने जथा पश्यति देह निदृशम मनोरथेना भिनिविष्ट चेतना दृष्टो श्रुता ज मनसा चिंतन प्रपद्यते तत् किमपि यतस्मृति
He is saying first पश्यति प्रपद्यते देन विस्मृति First he sees that he is in a dream, he is in this body. Here I am there. Then he forgets this present body. That is called birth. And then Kamsa is asking, okay, the living entity sees so many things, so many kinds of samskaras, background, then why does he get a particular kind of body? 42. He is saying, this man, this mind is vikar atmak. Vikar means he's very chanchal. He's always changing from one type of thinking to another. From one kind of thinking, feeling and willing to another type, all the time. The word chanchal means chalam, chalam. Means it's always moving. Chanchalam hi, manaha Krishna. It's very flickering. Sometimes it catches this object and then it catches this object. It keeps moving. Sometimes he has ragdvesh. He likes something and then he doesn't like something. Like and dislike. This is called rag and dvesh. Our mind is full of these things. There's only one mind, but it has so many things in it. In 24 hours, how many times this mind changes its mood? Sometimes when we have to go and see some person, visit somebody, we say, go and see what kind of mood he is in now. Maybe he is angry with someone in his family. If he is in a good mood, he will do our work. So many kinds of moods. Sometimes people say, don't talk to me now, my mood is very hot, very angry. You can never tell when it will become hot, when it will become cool. And sometimes it's overcome by lust, and sometimes it's overcome by anger. And sometimes greed takes over. Let me do this, let me do that, make more money. And sometimes he forgets everything and goes to sleep. He forgets his home, he forgets his shop, his business, and he goes to sleep. And at that time, while he's sleeping, he does not worry about his... He has no anxiety at that time about his work or home or family. He forgets everything. Sometimes in the dream, he desires, I should get this, I should get that. And sometimes he gets very thirsty in his dream. The person keeps drinking and drinking water, but the fake water does not satisfy the thirst. You might have experience of this. I have seen in my dream that I am drinking lotus and lotus of water, but my thirst is not being quenched. Sometimes we feel like we're walking in our dream or running, but some big rock is tied to our feet and we're not able to walk. We see all kinds of things in our dreams. In this way, this mind, the living entity's mind, is vikar atmanam. Vasudeva is telling Kamsa. Why does the mind keep changing? Why does it go on different things all the time? Sometimes it wants this, sometimes it wants that. Because in this verse, daiva choditam. This is daiva choditam means previous activity is called daiva. In the previous times, we've done many, many different kinds of karma. So whatever kind of karma we've done, in that way, our mind will be inclined in this life. Those people who have done many, many pious activities, their minds automatically goes towards the Supreme Lord. Very easily, they capture this topic. Easily, they develop faith towards the Lord. And the person has an interest in the Lord, that he has an interest in holy places, in hearing good katha. And if he has very bad karma, then his mind is inclined towards very bad activities. Very bad activities. This is called daiva choditam and vikar atmakam. So this mind, influenced by previous activities, goes from one object to another, this person to that person, it keeps going. But at the time of panchatva, at the time of death, the thing or the person that he thinks of, just like when you take a picture, and at the time of flash, wherever your eye is, that way, that kind of picture you will get. That kind of picture is what is developed. At the last moment, whatever his mind, wherever his mind is, at the very last moment, that kind of body he will get. And in his life, his mind went to so many things and so many people. But what, wherever his mind is at the very last moment of his death, that is it. This is the Siddhanta. 8,400,000 different species, and the living entity keeps going. The Mother Nature has given so many varieties of things, and mind keeps going. Every moment mind is somewhere. So at the time of death, the mind will be also somewhere. And wherever it goes at the time of death, at the time of death, whatever is our mental condition at the time of death, that kind of body is developed. Says in the Bhagavad Gita, at the time of death, whatever is the bhav is of your mind, that body you will get. So Arjun could have asked, he could have said, so that's good, so I will just do anything I like, and at the time of death I will fix my mind in you, and that's all I have to do. So the Lord said, no, this is not possible. Sada tad bhava bhavita. Whatever he is, his thinking during his life, that is the thinking that will come to his mind at the time of death. Sada tad bhava bhavita. And that's why. And that's why always think of me and fight. He's not telling you. He's not saying yuddha sarveshu. He's not saying always just fight. He's saying always remember me. Fight sometimes when it's needed, but always remember me. Remember me, he's saying sarveshu kaleshu. Sarveshu kaleshu means every moment. Every moment. In 24 hours, early morning, from waking up till falling asleep at night, that no time should be there that you're not remembering. There should be no moment that you do not remember me, and death comes at that time. But that does not usually happen. The person who's endeavoring his whole life always to remember Krishna, he remembers Krishna at the time of death also. Generally. Most people do not even have the knowledge of this, what to speak of, worrying about it. This is such a situation, this example is given. Just like when you're traveling in railway in India, so many people travel by the railroad, and your station comes, then you start to get off. And if there was such a man that when he's about to get off, he tells to all the people in the compartment, okay, now you all be peaceful together and behave yourself, and I'm going. And if somebody asks him, where are you going? And he says, he doesn't know where he's going. Whether he's going to fall in a ditch or whether he's going to fall inside the railway line, he doesn't know. Apartment that he's leaving, he's so concerned. But where he's going, he does not know. He's telling the compartment he's leaving, he's telling everybody, you all be affectionate to each other and live peacefully, be happy. But where he's going, he has no idea. This is ignorance. This is real ignorance. Every person should think about, where I will go after this body? Where we will go, it's in our hands. We have to prepare ourselves. Nobody else will prepare for us. Sometimes if your sons, etc., are good, then they can help after you've gone. They can do something to help you. But main responsibility is our own, in our own hands. But we have to know, but we know we have to go. Since we know that we have to go, we should make some arrangements, we should prepare. If we want, if we didn't have to go, then you can just stay here and do whatever you want. But we know we have to go. This is why learned persons, they make preparations. Maharaj Parikshit, to leave, he made arrangements to hear Bhagavatam. To go to Lord Krishna, he heard Bhagavatam. He was given news that he was going to die in 7 days. Ramana that came to give news, he said, Maharaj, in 7 days you will die, so for your own benefit, please do something. This hearing of Bhagavatam is actually preparation for our next life. So this hearing of this Bhagavatam is not meant just for just before the death, just before the time of death. It is not meant for that. Sometimes people arrange Bhagavat Katha for their elderly parents when they don't even have the strength to hear. Often they say, I want to, in my home, have a Bhagavad Katha for my mother and father. They're so old, they're about to die, but they cannot hear anything. That is not the only time to hear Bhagavatam. It will have benefit, but the real time to hear Bhagavatam is when you're young and your senses are in order. This is the system. So often in India, they invite a Bhagavad Katha when their father is very, very old, about to die, or when they have already passed away. That is also a system that will have benefit. Gokarna, he spoke Bhagavatam for the benefit of his dead brother. Dhundakari, that is also all right, but the best thing to do is to hear Bhagavatam while your body is functioning and you're able to hear. Then Kansa is saying, okay, I understand that this is how living entity takes his birth, but I may not again get this wonderful birth of a king. This is the body of a king. And from the, because I have a body of a king, I have all this enjoyment and facilities and strength. I have so much sense gratification. I can fly. I can drive in Mercedes. And then if I get a body, some condemned body, how will I be able to enjoy? Now I have this king's body, so even by doing a condemned act, a most sinful act, I will do it to protect this body, because I may not get this kind of body again. Still did not give up. He is still holding the braid and a sword, and he is still arguing. It is correct to protect this kingly body even by doing sinful act like this. Vasudev, he is again speaking. Text 43.
Evam somaya tive sudha samir vega anugatam vibhavyate. Evam somaya rachite sutav puman gune suraga anugato vimuhyati.
This philosophy is worth understanding. He is giving an example to teach him. Just like if in a plate and a pot, you put even either water or oil in a container, a flat container, then you can see the shadow of the sun or the moon in the water or surface of the water or the oil. When the reflection of the moon or sun is on the surface, moon and sun, they look like they're moving or shaking a little bit. Because the water it's moving due to the effect of the breeze. Many times I have shown practically in Delhi and in Bombay, everybody saw, we put a plate of water and the water is moving by the effect of the breeze. And the sun and the moon sometimes looks cut up and sometimes small and sometimes big and sometimes moving. But the sun and moon are there exactly as they are. But in the shadow, it looks like it's either moving or big and small or cut up according to the breeze. Because the water is moving. And why water is moving? Because of the breeze. And the water, it looks a little shiny because of the reflection of the moon. It does not have its own shine. And the sun and moon or the moon, they look like they're cut up, broken or twisted. But in the sky, the real sun and moon are actually not like that. So this is described as the dharma of one is shown in the other. Dharma means swabhav or nature. In Sanskrit, one word can have a few meanings. So when I use the word dharma, you can understand that it's about the swabhav or nature of the thing. So one's dharma is shown in the other. This is called abhyas, practice. The water does not have its own shine, but it reflects the shine of the sun and the moon. The real sun and moon are not broken or twisted, but because of the water, they seem like they're broken or twisted. The dharma of the water is reflected on the picture. And the dharma of the picture is reflected in the water. The water seems shimmery and shiny. This is the example, and in the same way, the soul is nitya and anandamaya, is eternally blissful. On its own, it's sukhmaya, it's blissful. Bliss keeps coming out of the soul. It is only bliss. Atma, it cannot get bliss from outside. It's eternal and blissful. Whatever body the soul goes into, His chinmayata and his blissfulness, it's reflected in the body, whatever body he goes into. And it seems like the body is a blissful thing. It is not the bliss of the body. When the soul leaves the body, no one even wants to look at the body. They cover the face with a cloth. They don't even want to see the body. And as long as the soul is in the body, the soul is reflected in the body. The eternality, the blissfulness of the soul reflects in the body as long as the soul is in the body. And the body is material. It's going to die. So the Atma is thinking, the soul is thinking, I will die, I am black, I am white. So the dharma of the dharma or nature of the body, the soul accept as himself, and the dharma of the soul is reflected in the body. The body becomes effulgent, and body becomes blissful by the soul being in it. So the soul's dharma is reflected in the body, and the body's dharma is reflected or accepted by the soul. There is, the body is not blissful. There is no bliss in the body. But because the body, because the soul is blissful, the body accepts or reflects the blissfulness of the soul. So whichever body the soul goes into, the soul will think that this body is very blissful. No other body is as blissful as this. Whichever body he goes into. Insect, birds, animals. Therefore, when you go to kill even, if someone even tries to kill a little insect, insignificant insect and an ant, that body for that insect, the soul in the insect, that body is very dear to him. He wants to remain in that body and protect that body. Because the soul is living in that body. Now Vasudeva is explaining to Kamsa, don't worry. Whichever body you will go into, that body you will be very attached to. That body will be very dear to you, whichever body you go into. Like right now you're in the king's body, and this king's body is very dear to me, but when you go into a hog's body, that hog's body will be very dear to you. That hog's body will be most dear to you. Because the bliss, the happiness is in the soul, not in the body. And the soul will go in that body. You can see it today. Whatever body, he is enjoying happiness in that body. The dharma of the blissful soul is reflecting in that body. The thing of the greatest loss is this, that the dharma of the body, we think as ourselves, as the soul, that I will die, I will get old, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Indian, I'm American. The body is American. Because the body has taken birth in America. We're thinking, this is mine, I'm American. Our soul is accepting himself to be American, Indian. So whatever body Jeev lives in, that body seems most blissful to him. And that's why that particular body becomes most dear to him. And whatever sense gratification he gets in that body, that sense gratification is most dear to him. So today, when the soul is in a human body, then the human body seems most dear to him. And the sense gratification that's available in the human body, that is most dear to him. And when the same soul will go in the body of a hog, then a hog's body will become most dear to the soul. This garbage and stool and urine is the sense gratification of the hogs, and that is what he will be most dear to him. We have seen this. This philosophy is with everybody. We are all spirit souls. We are actually souls and we are living in the material body. So we are reflecting our, accepting our swabhav nature in the body, and we expect accepting the body's swabhav or nature into us, and we're becoming very unhappy by seeing that we're getting old, we're going to die, and all we're thinking how we can protect this body, how we can protect this body. But actually inside he doesn't actually want to save the body, he wants to save himself. What he actually wants is to save his soul. The soul is what is actually dear to him. In this world, whether it's a wife or a child, doesn't matter how dear the person may be to him, but as soon as the body leaves, the soul leaves the body, they immediately want to burn the body. or they want to put it in the ground. The body does not, body is not dear to them anymore. Before, the body may seem so dear to them, but now they don't even want to look at it or touch it. So what is this thing that has become minus, that body is not dear to you anymore? This is what we should try to understand. The soul is not there, and that's why the body is not attractive or dear to us. The living entity is the bliss. Whichever body the living entity goes, he will experience bliss. He will try to experience bliss. That body will be dear to him. The soul is dear, so whichever body that soul goes into, that body will be dear to you. He's trying to explain it to Vasudev. Don't worry, wherever you live, whichever body you will live, you will like that body. You will be attached to that body. You love this body called Kansa's body so much. But when you become a hog, you will love that body of a hog. A pig, especially an Indian pig, if you bring him to a place with lots of nice mattresses and soft covers and pillows and tell him to sit there, he will start screaming and he won't sit there, he'll run away. He sees a ditch with a stool and urine without invitation. He will go and sit down and enjoy.